afternoon, good evening, good morning, depending on where in the world you're watching from. I want you to get your bread and wine ready. Wine meaning fruit juice or something like that. Yeah, okay. So get it ready, because the whole point of tonight is communion. But we just don't come and pray and share communion and go, because the real essence of communion is the word. And so I feel it pressed in my spirit tonight to share again with you. My topic is just going to be I am, but I think my starting point is, okay, I haven't greeted people. Good evening. Good evening again and again. I won't call names just because of time. Good evening, everybody. Good evening all the way to Ibadan, Nigeria. Good evening, Ma. Good evening. I see you. I see everyone from every part of the world. Good evening to you. Good evening. Good evening in London City, the nation state called London, the best city in the world. Good evening, Lagos City, a city in the world. Good evening. Good evening, all the cities of the world. God bless you. Yeah, good evening, Liberia. Amazing. Good evening, Liberia. Good afternoon, Liberia. Good morning, Liberia. And all the way to Croydon, back to Croydon. Praise God. Good evening. Good afternoon. God is so good. Good evening, golden boy whose name has changed to Cash. I'm only saying what he told me to say. So he said his name is now Cash. That's golden boy. So trolls that are watching, don't say, oh, he even calls one of his pastors Cash. Go smoke some weed, please. He said his name is Cash. Yeah. Good evening. Our God is awesome.
He can move the mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain.
Our
God is awesome.
Heals
me when I'm broken, strength where I've been weakened, forever He will reign.
Mountains.
He can move the mountains,
keeps me in the valley,
keep me in the valley,
hide me from the rain.
Hide me from
say that again. Our God is awesome. He can move the mountain.
Our God is awesome. He can move the mountains, keep me in the valley,
hide
me from the rain.
Awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me, Lord.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength
where I've been weak.
Forever
He will reign.
My God
is awesome.
Say awesome. He's awesome. Forgive to His grace is why I'm living. Praise His holy name.
Praise His holy name.
Say it again. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Today I'm forgiven.
Today I am forgiven.
Great is who I'm living.
Grace is why I'm living.
Great is holy name. Everybody now say,
praise his holy name.
So our God is awesome.
Our God is
awesome.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weakened.
Strength where I've been weakened. Forever he will reign.
Let's start with this. Forever, oh God, your word is settled. I need our scripture first of all. I'm going all the way in this communion service to John chapter 8, where Jesus, there was nobody. So I was saying that the Bible says that it is by these promises that we are partakers of the divine nature. So we must constantly be reminded as a church, as a people, that the promises and the destiny of our life is enmeshed in scriptures, that the word, you know, it is by them that you become partakers of that divine nature. It is not by us being able to organize a movement, able to raise funds, able to impact nations. No, those are things that the hand of God guides us to do after that we've understood scriptures, because the revelé you heard, if revelé keeps people, many people would have seen. They were there. They shouted. They were there. They said, wow, what a word. And you can imagine what Judas was doing behind Jesus. He will hear some things and see some miracles and say, wow. But no. He can wow all he likes. He's not chosen. So I wanted to get rooted and more rooted in the word. So the promise for our greatness in finance, in family, in anything you may want to call it this morning, for your life, is based on scriptures. I didn't say Bible verses, so people can quote all that. People can even use that to judge other people. You know, that was the undoing of the Pharisees. In John chapter 9, they questioned Jesus so much. And they just came to a conclusion. They said, look, he cannot say these things. Look at John chapter 9. Don't read it. Don't worry. It said, therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. They were sure. They were the sect of the Pharisees. This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. So they didn't look at the things that he does. They look at the things he does not do in order to judge him. Did you guys share the grace? Did you guys, how did you dress to church? It's all about what you don't do. And that's what Pharisees do. But that's not my gripe this evening. I've got a bigger case on my mind this evening. But I wanted you to know that when we do things, the only way you know that you're not being talked into doing something you don't want to do, or being brainwashed, like the world will call it, is, does he have root in scriptures? Is these scriptures? Now, once it is scriptures, then we are bound to obey scriptures. And that's not even based on interpretation. Scripture is simple. Scriptures like, given, it shall be given unto you. Now, so you remember some months ago, I began to tell you about food being the entry point into nations. We got into that talking about revelations. Now, up to date, I think I've spoken to more than, I won't mention numbers, a lot of vice presidents and president, because you are out to take that nation. You are seed in those nations. You're invested in those nations. But from the word, then we can now come and say, okay, because of what you are building, because of what you're doing. Analysts, someone was telling me this morning, because I have my own analysts too who are not Spark Nationals, and saying, I predict 5 years for these to be $1 billion, and they told me why. And I agree with them. I agree with them because there are people whose mind and heart God has touched. In those people, their normal DNA is loyalty and wealth. It is in your DNA. Some people just don't have it. So they'll fall off, because eventually you become too high, or seemingly too high to reach. But don't forget this. Those are logics. Those are calculations, and they would happen. There's never been a time. Imagine me as a pastor, I'm sitting down. I know a lot of people now, heads of states in some occasion, are looking at what's going to be my next move. But what they don't know is that I'm also looking at me saying, what's going to be my next move? Now, I said all that to say that I don't need to worry about my next move, because my next move can either be may or make kind of situation. But I'm not worried about that, because the way we got here is the word. So I'm not looking to calculate move. I'm looking to know the word more. It is, what does it say about my finance? What does it say about giving? So you see why someone can't convince me otherwise about giving. Now, what will take, you know, there are things we've tried years ago. We want to be in contact with XYZ. We want to be, no, they are the ones calling. People that will take years for others to reach, walking through the ladder. Now, they're not, forget about, oh, PT can talk to this. It's not PT, it's you. You've got to get that message. But where does all this stem from? The word. The word, the word, the word, the word. So we must not be too carried away with the revelation that we even forget the word of the revelation. Some things, you know, God will give us eloquence. God will give us articulation of his word. He will give us a keen mind to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. But never forget the simplicity of truth. And when you open your scripture, you find the word for yourself, which you cannot find by human intelligence. It is not flesh and blood. It is the Spirit of God. So the Pharisees couldn't clock Jesus because they know the Bible. They know what is written in the Torah, but they did not know the Spirit that wrote it. So eventually, when Satan comes to test all this word that you've been hearing and all the enthusiasm and energy you have about the Spark Nation movement, when it is good, when it is bad, whatever you think, when the lights are off, Satan is going to come and test you with logic, because God will allow him to test if you know that word. I told one of your sisters yesterday, said, you know, sometimes I thought get to me and I'm wondering, am I supposed to be here? Am I not? Da, 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 da. And I said, you don't have to be, but let me tell you one thing. In life, there's always one thing you get right. The moment you get wrong, that one thing you get right. Do you understand that? Life is messed up. You died that day. You don't need to get 100 things right. There's always going to be one thing, this one thing. You get that one thing right. The moment you get that one thing that you got right wrong, it's the end of life. One can get that one thing that you got right wrong. I'm struggling to explain that, but you're intelligent, so I know you understand. Once you get that wrong, once you allow thoughts to touch that, even if you're still around, you were gone. And so what happened to me 15 years ago is that I got some things right. I got given right. I got that one. And I knew there's nobody that can persuade me otherwise. I knew, even though I had no proof at the time, other than what is written in scriptures, that to open the heart of a nation, it is that given, it's that spirit. I knew. And I also got it right that there will be many voices against it, but God kept showing me, you are not the many voices. Your destination, where they are going in life and where you're going, is different. So I want to talk about the I am. I needed to lay that foundation first of all. And amazingly, I must say this to you. I can't even not say this. God is opening the doors of nations to you in unprecedented manner. Unprecedented. Things that could never have happened before the world became the way it is now, happening to you when the world became worse. I want to assure you of something, that there are guarantees from scriptures. Again, I may sound like a broken record, but it is still baffling to me, and probably you've not clocked that prophecy. You probably think pastor must be thinking of America and Liberia. I don't understand how the moment they want to start lifting lockdown, the people I'm getting the closest to are the leaders of Liberia. It's unbelievable. I even look at Spark today and say, is there any Liberian here? I can't think of any, because Liberians are usually in America. How is that? How does God give us a prophecy in February about what is going to happen to the world? And in my own usual energetic way of speaking, I just stumbled to say U.S. will be as shaken as Liberia. And what you're helping to do in Liberia this week is unprecedented. Unprecedented. And so, if you don't think these things are written by the hand of God, then the truth of the matter is, he chose not to reveal them to you. And there is nothing even pity can do about it. There is nothing your loyalty can do about it. There is a blessing coming. It is here. There is a man, and I'm not in a hurry. Builders don't rush. So he told me to talk to you about the God I am, the strength of Israel. And I began to think about this. I'm thinking about the rock that never fails. This rock had always been with the children of Israel all their lives. It was a witness. Meaning this rock, the word rock, unmovable, hard. There is a rock in your life, a witness in your life. But the one in your life is not what I'm about to talk about, because that's Jesus, the rock of Israel. Now, he makes you a rock for a generation. And the name of the rock is I Am. What does that mean? It means that God has everything already written about your life. Let me tell you something. The journey of 2021, which you don't know yet, just like we didn't know 2020, the rock of life is already there. He is not going to come into your life. It's not coming. He's there. So when I take you into scriptures and we begin to dissect the word I am, and I think I've thought about I am before, but I need to remind you of this. He is not I will be. He orchestrated all the journey of your life. So from the day one that he chose Judas, he knew the journey of Jesus. So let me start with the scripture I gave you. And I will just speak common little things, because I don't want this to be about the revelate this evening. I want it to be about the communion. That's the focus. Talk to me.
Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven.
This settlement, have you seen rocks before? They are unmovable. Rocks don't move. They are settled. Forever, O God, your word is settled in heaven. Remember that the word only became flesh. So, actually, at a point, was a word in the mouth of God. And this word then was spoken. So what we do in life, actually, is that we use family and culture, tradition, and the expectation of men called religion. We use it to mess up the word. We use it to change I am to I will be. We begin to create God in our own image and fashion him after our own likeness. Christianity, that's the fashioning of God after our own likeness. It's about what we like, how we think to approach God. So a drug dealer, a common drug dealer on the street, can say, that's not how a church should be. How do you know what a church should be, drug dealer? How is that possible? Have you ever gone to Whiskey Show and tell them how the show should be? No. You accept what they do to you there. You accept whatever they say to you there. Good for you. But then you come from there and say, that's how a church should be. No. The reason why we didn't see a clear picture of how church services and church run in the Bible is because it's supposed to be fluid. It's supposed to have foundation. Forever, O God, your word is settled in the heavens. Meaning that God, there I am, is not changing anything about what he spoke about you. As far as he's concerned, it doesn't matter what changed you. Money, fame, lack of it, his word is settled. That is the rock of your life. So, this is a successful person in life. A person who constantly search that which is settled concerning their life. You know, many times when you try to make something work and it's not working that way, guess what you should do? Settle with the word that is settled. And that's where we started from on Thursday. Learn how to settle. Learn how to settle, because his word for you is settled. Another thing is, man's word about you cannot change his word, which is settled. So now men are saying all manner of things about you, but his word, before you did your first good heart, before you did your first wrong heart, your first mistake, God's word already settled about your life, and heaven and earth may pass away. So why do we read the Bible? We read so that we can get into the specific of his word for us. The Bible is the gateway into his word, because it's his thought. Why do we read even verses or chapters that don't look relevant to us? If you're not reading it so that you can be spiritual or Christian, it can't make you that. Because if it can, professors who study Bible in universities, Islamists who study Bible, will be spiritual. But they study so that they can argue based on it. You see those who you will see on Twitter coming against PT or pastor talking about, they're only reading so that they can argue. Those are not children of God. They are motivated by demons. But that's not you. I want you to hear me. When you begin to study, you're reading the word, you're just thinking his thought. You may be reading about Ezekiah for all I care. But what is happening is that you're getting into his thought, and all of a sudden you get into a stream of his thought for you in 2020. That's why you must read it, because that's the compendium of the thought of God. You see, the Pharisees were reading so that they can fish Jesus out, so that they can say, this guy is definitely not of God. So what is the communion of the Spirit? The Word. When you open that scripture or on SoundCloud, whichever way, and you begin to fellowship, the communion. We're going to read what the meaning of the word communion is. Well, forever, oh Lord, your word is settled. So the younger part of my life is looking for true his word. What is settled for my life. It does not matter if Peter was a reckless fisherman who was going to deny Jesus and all that. Ask for Peter. Jesus already turned to him and said, upon this rock I will build my church. So Jesus says to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Therefore, I have spotted the one who God has sent ahead of me. Peter was sent to carry this rock, to be the foundation of some sort of this rock. And so, upon this rock I'll build my church. Identification of people that are called the rock. So you call Peter the rock because of the fellowship of the Spirit. What happens to Peter straight away? Very simple. Jesus could build a church because he knows this guy will be immovable. And even at the time that it looks as if it will be moved, Jesus had to pray for him. And Peter was not even praying. He's a rock. He became a rock, an unchangeable condition. Are you listening to me? Unchangeable condition. The word of God is a rock that turns you to a rock. It's like you have to kill me to dissuade me about giving. Poverty can't. And by the way, I read from a big man, exposed and intelligent. I read one of his writing before he passed away. And he was saying, anyone who embraced poverty has never seen it. Do you understand that? If someone tells you about poverty, or you don't, let them taste real poverty. Nobody likes it. God never made man for that. Anyway, so the rock, as you fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit, it makes you into a rock. It doesn't make you into a Christian, as we will call it today. It turns you into a rock. In other words, if it sends you to the political mountain, how do you become a rock there, immovable? How does that happen? You fellowship with the Word by the Holy Spirit. Then what he's doing is your mind will open up to a revelation revealed to you by the Spirit. And God says, upon this rock, this stability. And you are young, you already know people are not stable. They can confess something yesterday and confess another today. You know that, you've seen it. And you have to keep seeing that in church. That's what matures you. That's what differentiates between Mr. Follow Follow and a man who is a rock, whose mind is made up. Who knows that if you move, it's because God has prepared someone else for that seat. It's not because you've seen something better. You don't see something better in a progressive environment to now go where? So I say, am I here? Am I so? Now, leave here. Where are you going to? Nothing. It is your mom's blood calling you back. It is a non-community calling us back. Is looking for rocks that have studied the word and become rocks from engaging with the rock. Forever, oh Lord, your word is settled in the heaven. Verse 90, let's see what it says, and then we'll go to John.
Your faithfulness endures to all generations.
I love that, because all that those two scriptures is just telling us is this. This rock stands there. It doesn't move. Is faithfulness, meaning is commitment to keep what he said about you from day one. It does not expire based on generation. So there is nothing called, well, you know, a new generation is coming. I wonder what the world is going to be like in 20 years, 30 years time, or even in a year's time. His faithfulness enters all generation. So if his faithfulness enters all generation, what is he looking for? People who have the revelation of his faithfulness. If they have a revelation of his faithfulness, they will believe the word despite the fear that the news media may propagate. Despite all those fears, despite what happens in their everyday life, they know that generations don't change God's faithfulness. They know that the change of king, or the change of economic situation, or the change of men's applause, or otherwise, they know it does not change his faithfulness. His word is settled. So God wants me to remind Spark Nation on this communion table tonight that what he said concerning you is nations. What he wants you to take is nation. What does that mean? You will get into nations. Look, let me tell you this. There's nothing like, oh, PT is moving to Nigeria. I'm not moving to Nigeria. I'm a global citizen. I'm global. Moving to Nigeria will be shortchanging myself. It's too late for that now. I can change temporarily operational base. Are you listening to me? We can change base, but I'm not moving to Nigeria. I'm too global for that. Spark Nation is global. There are what God gave you in the nation state called London is a template. And what begins to happen is that that template, unless if you are saying no, that template is needed by many nations. And so I cannot go and shortchange and keep that in one African nation. No. In Spark Nation, you have someone from... In this room right now, we have people from how many African countries now? And it's very few of us because of social distancing. We have about 5 people here. Socially distanced. So don't write me no letter. Okay, we are distant socially. But spiritually close. We have how many nations? 1, 2, about 4. About 4 nations here. You're Sierra Leone, you're Congo, you're Zimbabwe. We're about 4 nations in this little room alone, and it's just about 5 of us. Just about 5. And so I'm saying that it would then be an insult for us to say, oh, PT is going to Nigeria, it's moving. No way. We represent all these nations. God, in his infinite wisdom, took me out of that nation to speak to all the nations. So when we say nation take it, what we are saying is that people will be grown from this city. They will understand how to go and influence and bring change in different countries. So when we step out of London, when we step out temporarily, no, and this continuously be the base, when we step out, what we are declaring is global. Globalization of a template that was tested. So what had to happen before you go global is simple. It has to be tested. It has to go through the fire, and let's see, does it stand? Can it stand it? Can it stand? So we can be among ourselves and say, well, you know, the trap house template, wow, great. And we clap for ourselves in Sunday service in one little corner in Hilton Hotel just because there are 2,000 people there. We clap and say, wow, great template. Or we look at what other template, whichever one. And you say mentorship, you say great template. But God says, okay, you've clapped, you've applauded it all by yourself. And then it is not just you applauding it. The nation then saw it. The nation applauded it from BBC to channels to whatever nation. And then for it now to go global, it must now be tested. Guess what? Since the tests came, did the trap house reduce in number? No. What happened? They grew more. Did our people getting into good position, did they reduce? No, they grew more. What happened? Did some people leave their house? Yes. But did the house diminish? No, it grew stronger. That means it's tested and ripe for global. It's now, Spark Nation is now a global church where all nations can come. So since the test came, guess what? I've got people from Nigeria, from South Africa, from America, asking me to do leadership conference with their leaders. This template has become global. So PT cannot therefore sit in one city. Has to be global because you are global. But don't forget this. This is where we're going back to. Forever, oh God, your word is said to what he has said about us. It is a billion, more than billion dollar movement. It will be. The handwritings are there, but not according to logic. It is according to the settled word. The I am is the rock that we drink from. That rock is immovable. So what is God looking for from the communion table tonight? People who will determine more to be immovable in the things that God is indicting their heart towards. God is going to raise people from people who don't have to the people who return to say we need 20 million tomorrow. And they have. Why? Because it is the rock. The rock is that witness. It's not their strength. It's not their power. So you're not in this house to set correction. No, we are all here to watch God's template evolve, get more matured. Let's go to John chapter 8 now. And let me just do 30 minutes and then we'll pray on the communion table. So if you want to title the communion tonight, it's called I Am, the Rock. Certain things in my life that I'm making up my mind about. 15 years ago when I took up this work, I've had many opportunities to change a template or to change from doing it. The Lord told me yesterday about a man that he raised in a city. I won't say this city, raised and he's built an amazing church. And I think recently he said his living church is going to get more into making money, but a child of God and all that. But I shouldn't say that on here because I think what I say just go everywhere. I love him. He's an amazing guy. Let's read from verse 48.
Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?"
This is Jesus they're talking about. So don't get offended if they talk like that about PT. They have to do it. Otherwise, it's not greatness. The real definition of greatness is this. And so, but what if it discourages people around you because they are reading these things? Then they are not my people. If somebody outside has to tell you about PT, whom you see every day and sit down to eat with, then something is fundamentally wrong with you. And say, I was inspired for this. I've just read so much about it that now you were a pastor there. That's sickness of the mind. Look at this. They said he's a Samaritan, meaning, look, his country is irrelevant, and you definitely have a demon. They are saying to Jesus, whom they've seen, cast out demon. Before somebody will surrender their knife for gang life, you know it is demons that control those things, right? It is demons. That demon has to be out. So if you look back at a PT and say, he has a demon, a pastor son, say, he has a demon. They had to do that with Jesus. But I'm going somewhere. I'm not talking about persecution or what people say or don't say. At this point, you now know that doesn't matter. If someone was saying, someone said something about, and he was thinking, are these people all not there? They were irrelevant. Like, they've become irrelevant. So that's not my purpose this evening. But I want to show you something. He said, he has a demon. Is a Samaritan, verse 49.
Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death."
This is where the problem starts from. If anyone, and you can now imagine those who don't know scriptures. Jesus looks at them and says, if anyone keeps my word, he won't die. And they will look at him and say, what did you just say? He said, if anyone keeps my word. You know, it would have been more tolerated if he says, if anyone keeps the word of God, they will say, okay, but he will still die. But at least he used God. Jesus looks at them and say, if anyone keeps my word, because I am, meaning I'm quoting Jesus now, I am the order of God on earth right now. What God is doing is me. If anyone keeps my word, he shall not die. How? But then Peter and God kept his word, but they died. So what does it mean death here? He will not see darkness. He will not, even when his physical body is laid to rest, he's not dead yet. Because are we not reading 1 Peter today? Are we not reading from Paul today? If anyone keeps my word, he would have a legacy. So our fathers are embraced idol worshiping. And when they got rid of their effigies, idols, they now made their culture their idols. And their idol, their culture, made them forsake the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone keeps my word, it will have a legacy. There will be a family line. There will be something we believe in. So what have you done, Spark Nation? You kept a word. And God is looking for more custodians. People that will say, this is what we have thought in service, how to serve. Like, it still looks more than anyone who is a person of the past will go back to the past. So someone can come to the future, meaning what God is saying right now, the I am of God. So it's neither past or future, but I'll use that for English word. Anyone can come in now, but if they are a person of the past, they will go back there. I am is speaking to us and saying, there's a template. Why are wiser people all over the earth seeking to understand this template called Spark Nation? And then you have someone that has been there for 3 years. I'm not sure. Because they really don't belong to I am. That doesn't make them evil. That doesn't make them bad. It just means that there's a journey ahead of us. And you must be, in order to in this work and grow and thrive therein, you must be a person of the world. Otherwise, you will be, questions will ask itself of you in your head and your trip. Judas just started having questions, but he was destined to fail. I do not know him. You do not know him. Verse 55. Yet you have not known him.
But I know him.
But I know him.
And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you.
Yeah.
But I do know him and keep his word.
56, more offensive now.
Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad.
Isn't that madness? Now Jesus says to them, your father, Mr. Abraham, he said he wanted to see my day and he saw it. Now, logic people, Bible people, right there, they've just said, oh yeah, Abraham saw your day. And they told him his logic, like, you're mad. Look at verse 57.
Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham?
Like, you're not 50. Abraham died many years ago. What they don't know is that he is the rock of ages. Is a word, a witness, a dimension. So when he said Abraham wanted to see my day, and he rejoiced when he saw Isaac, that in you, Isaac, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. A word. He wanted to see Isaac. And when he wanted to slaughter Isaac as the sacrifice, what did he see? He saw the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of humanity, and he rejoiced. But see, the Bible scholars, they know so much Bible that they don't know that part. So when he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, Abraham rejoiced to see the day that the Son of God became the sacrifice for the sons of men. Abraham rejoiced to see it. So he said, he who believes in me will not die. He who keeps my word will not die. You know what God is trying to do here? He called you into this house to make you an eternal story. And hey, there will be people that whose mind, whose life cannot bear that. Who am I? They look at the family they are coming from. They look at the culture they are coming from. They look at their school grade and say, who am I to be an eternal story? It is not the strong according to this world. In fact, you are likely to deviate the more wisdom you have outside of God's wisdom, outside of the world. That's the truth. So, it said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and they told him, you are not even 50, meaning you are sick, you have a demon, you are mad. Verse 58, it makes it worse.
Jesus said to them,
certainly, most assuredly,
I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.
At that point, they said, there's no point arguing with this guy, let's kill him. How can you say before Abraham was, I am? In the beginning was the word. Again, what am I telling you this afternoon? God wanted me to pray for the nation. That the rock, the Givers Club is a rock club. It's a rock. It's not something you sit in and say, I wonder why they're not putting me there because I don't have. No, that's not. You're not being a rock. You're being a plastic spoon. Disposable. Don't do that. There are people that are disposable, like, okay, yeah, it's gone. So What? No, God is building rocks. So when we partake of the communion tonight, I am. In other words, don't forget this. If you forget anything, it's just saying what is about to happen to you next is there. At that point, they picked up the stone. They wanted to kill him. And something interesting happened in verse 59. Read it and let me finish there. Let me stop there.
So then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
If you've ever read that scripture before, it is the most confusing. The Bible says, imagine, he's standing in front of them. I want to show you something now. He's standing in front of them, and they're having this argument. Now, the argument gets heated up. They've called him all manner of names, and he's not backing down. They're not backing down. Then he said something now, and they want to stone him. The Bible says, and Jesus hid himself. If the Bible stopped with that, you would have said maybe he hid and ran away. The Bible says he hid himself and he walked among them and left. He entered into light that darkness cannot see. You know, he walked through them, he walked among them, and they didn't see him. That to me is the core of that scripture right there. If I wasn't talking about the rock, if I was talking about the spirit of prayer and light. Because what God wants to pour out again upon Spark from this communion is sporadic prayer, the spirit of prayer. The Bible says he hid himself. This guy has gone into the rock. That was what happened to Moses. When Moses was asking for the revelation of God, God said, come to the cleft of the rock. He said, I will hide you there and I will show you my behind. I will show you my former works. There is a place in God where you can still walk among the world that wants to stone you to death and they won't see you. It's the place of light. It's the rock place. There's a place where you can operate when everybody is saying economic downturn. You know, it's as a matter of your heart. Your heart is the place I can't get to. It's a place where your mouth can say anything. Your mouth can say anything right now about, wow, great, wow, this is awesome. But God sees your heart the way I see your face. Before he sees your face, he sees the heart right away. And so what he's calling us for, he wants us by now, he's saying there are more than 300-400 of you that should be rock. Those are the nation takers and the nation changers. Meaning that no girl, no guy is entering into your life to change some things. You will either become rock together. Are you listening to me? And so Jesus was convinced in this thing. The Bible says that they drank from this rock. I need that scripture. It said this rock followed them day and night. It was a witness to all generation. In other words, what God wants to do in the earth right now is looking for rock people, not rocky people, rock people, convinced with the conviction of steel. And you don't need to look for many matters. Number one is what he says about you and what he has called you into. He didn't call you into niceties. He called you into an assignment with leadership. He's saying this is where we're going next. And now, for what is wired inside you, there's greatness in that thing. I've seen people struggle to be great. And you know that, you know, if by any means they manage to want to be a great musician, if they ever manage to, their greatness falls on their own head and kills them. Whereas there's a shorter cut. You build a rock walk, convinced. A walk of if I perish, I perish. And guess what? Nobody has ever said if I perish, I perish, and they perish. They don't perish. Those who perish are people who are afraid of perishing. They are the first to perish. It is a rock thing. So again, I didn't come to teach you. I came to show you something. That there's always been a witness in your life that led your step to this point. Don't detach from that witness. It's your rock. That's the rock. So, in case you don't believe me, when I said Abraham, the rock Christ was with them all life long. And it transferred to Peter the day Peter understood who Jesus was. Talk to me.
Moreover, brethren.
Where are you reading from?
1 Corinthians 10 from verse 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Please, who were they baptized to in the cloud? God. They were baptized into Moses. That was their rock at the time, because the law, Moses had no message of ease. I don't have a message to give you. Is what is God saying now? He had no message. So God is not trying to take the shine and say, let's just give all the glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pastor, are you hearing his word? Is he sending you? They were all baptized into Moses. Someone say, oh, in Spark, you people serve pity, but in our church, we serve God. Yes, you say God is your God. We say God is our Father. We know him. So please, man, tell me the measurement of that God you say you are serving. You do as you like, even on the Sabbath. You still fought people in church before you left. You still had a group that talks against the pastor. But then you serve God. That's Pharisees and Sadducees. They were baptized into Moses. Moses had no other order than what God revealed to him. Moses was not trying to be a liberator. God took him from the backside of the desert and gave him a template. Not one single word of Moses. Everything what God gave him. And everyone that was baptized into Moses will witness the life of God, because they obey what Moses was saying to them according to the word of God. Talk to me.
All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink.
Do you know what the scriptures mean? They were baptized in the cloud. The cloud led them by day. They were baptized into Moses in the sea. In other words, the sea wouldn't have opened without Moses' instruction. God was there, but God did not come out of the cloud and say, Red Sea part. No, Moses turned to God. God spoke to Moses and told Moses what to do. The reason why Pentecostal Christianity is not powerful today is everybody is just an individual. They claim to know God for themselves because that's easier. It doesn't tell them to do things that are sacrificial, and it's fine by them. It means when you hear no God for yourself, and you should, but when you hear it in their context, what that means is, look, I'll just dictate how life goes for me. But they don't say no your employer by them, because your employer tells you what you must do and you must do it. And so they were baptized into Moses because that was the contact of God. Someone said, well, but that's the Old Testament. But remember, when he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men, and he gave five ministry gifts, not individual gifts. They were baptized into Moses. They drank the same drink.
For they drank of that spiritual rock.
That's right.
That followed them.
The rock followed them. The spiritual rock, Christ, they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them. There is a follow-up rock in your life. It's the one directing all your move. You can call it, I stumbled upon this and I stumbled. No, the rock was guiding you somewhere. Now, what am I saying? To understand the mind of God more. It takes one thing to enter into revelation. Your mind is made up to obey. And God will begin to reveal different dimensions of word to you that may not look normal to religion as we know it. There is no particular way of doing things. There is a spiritual way of doing everything. There is nothing like someone coming up and saying, hey, but if she's a Christian, should they be doing it, as long as it's not killing people or denying Jesus? There's a way to engage. I want you to know that communion of the Spirit. So don't forget this. The reason for communion, Jesus says, as long as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So when I remember him, what do I remember? I remember his close knitness with his disciples. I remember his ability to face those who are in darkness. I remember his focus on mission instead of crowd. I remember his impact. I remember his sacrifice. It reminds us as a church, as we go to the communion table in some few minutes, that everyone who has given their lives to him, your life is no longer operated at the measurement of your own will and desire. It is him. You open up the Bible more, you'll understand pity more. You don't understand pity because you don't read the Bible. It's as simple as that. If you stay in fellowship, you will, when I open my mouth to speak, you will know this is God's word. Or you'll reject it if it's not God's word. It's simple. But when you begin to deviate from that word, guess what increases in your head? Your thoughts. Remember that your thoughts come from no other place than your culture. It's who you are. It's not new. It's the way daddy thought too. And you may say, I don't think like my dad. You're not in his mind. You're not in his mind. So what God does when he wants to raise a new nation is to detach them from that thought and then open up a new school of thought. The word. Now, but everybody can pick up the Bible and say, well, you know, I go to church, I'm 20, I'm 21, I'm 17, I'm whatever age, I'm 30, I go to church. So why does he give ministry gift, especially apostleship, to take that word and bring it to 2020? And look at you in the face and say, listen, the old has read and taught about how to give, how to pray, how to do this and that, right? How to serve. In 2020, the dimension of God is XYZ. That's what stagnation is. And from then on, it is take it or leave it. Those who have really soaked themselves into taking it, you can only see a upward trajectory. There's no two ways about it. Those who fluctuate in thought, we don't hear it in their word, but you'll see it in the chart of their life too. It will be fluctuating. Sometimes they will look as if they are rising. Yeah, wow, God is blessing me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But then their thought, what regulates their manifestation, what regulates their blessing is the thought, not what they tell PT. That thought becomes the chart. So I see people that God is lifting and blessing in certain things, finance, whatever. Now, then I almost know when it goes low. I understand it. It is not what they say. Mind is beginning to go this. It's not rock. It's doing this. Then almost immediately you start seeing it in their lives. It's simple, guys. If you're not a national watching, say, oh, that's, people are going to believe that. I'm not asking anyone to believe. I see it. So he said to come and tell you, your father, my father, God Almighty, is I am. The word I am is stability, immovable, conviction of steel. Even if there's anything stronger than steel, it is that conviction that regulates your stock market. Do you understand that? It is not how many people you now made or what salary they give you this month or next month if they've doubled your salary. No. It is the I am situation. It is that rock stability. If you have rock stability in your heart, you will have upward trajectory in your life. But that stability must believe in something. Saying, I believe in God is too vague. It's vague. It's not non-committal. There's nothing you're committing. It's just I believe, meaning I'll do what I want when I like it. That's what people call freedom in Christianity. That's why we are powerless. If God is going to build a nation, it takes us back to communion table. He stayed with these 12 minus Judas and made them a rock. So much so that when he left, the things that he taught them, he wasn't even here physically. They were willing to die for it. But guess what? Before they died, they turned the world upside down. I'm just wondering, if there are people who refuse to be ordinary people, there will be people who will join us along this journey. And ordinariness will call them back to ordinariness, because ordinariness is a nation as well. It's filled with people and is ruled by the ordinary. It's a nation. So I'm just wondering if there are people like that who, all of us tonight, would say, we do this in remembrance of Jesus. I get it. I get my call in life. I understand that it would always be a given life. It would always be a life of sacrifice. It would always be a life of bitter and sweet. It will always be a life of passion for and passion against. I'm not willing to turn that tide to become famous with man. It's my call. So I get it. That those who, because to be here, it would have had to put it in your heart. It's a heart matter. I don't care what you say. So the communion table tonight is realizing, recognizing that call. Nothing trips a man than his marriage. It's been powerful from the time of Adam. So it's not changed. We saw it manifest in Lot. You see, Lot's wife was very quiet until the day she turned to a pillar of salt. We didn't know that she was the one making in court Lot do all the rubbish that Lot did. And Lot got that spirit so much so that even when he was supposed to just return home, now you can see the woman has turned to pillar of salt. Just go back to Uncle Abraham. Lot went for the well-watered ground. Lot looked at the ground and said, wow, look at Sodom and Gomorrah, beautiful. I will part with Uncle Abraham now because I'm supposed to now be a man on my own, my own man. You know, the world knows how to tell you that you should be your own man. And they've gone now. Their city is destroyed because the end of the cities of the world is destruction. And now, Abraham, instead of saying, can I flee to Uncle Abraham? Because Uncle Abraham may not look as funky like the one getting out there and getting job done, but he takes nations. Angels, can I go back to Uncle Abraham? But no, not Lord. Pride told him, can I flee to the mountains? You are not a rock. Why are you going to the mountains? You refuse to become a rock in the house of Abraham. So the mountains won't save you. So now he thought he was saved on that mountain. But guess what? His own house, his own daughter slept with him. Until he died, he raised his own kids from his own kids. Unbelievable. I'm convinced about loyalty. I'm convinced about followership. I'm convinced about leadership. These are the rock of our lives. They regulate our finance. They regulate everything about our lives. So my thought this evening as we go to the communion table, I want to pray on your communion in a moment. If you've decided to follow Jesus, be a rock follower. In other words, there's no compromise. I mean, sometimes we would have faults in our lives, but never get to a place where your problem and how you feel and the so-called thoughts of your head, remember why they are there. God's word, God's thought reduces in your life and your own thought gets louder. You begin to check how people behave to you. You'd even look at people on media, whatever. I don't want to say social, so because it's social and non-social. You look at them and you begin to pursue something that is not real. Be the rock guy. Especially the sisters. Don't let any man change your rock. Because if you get with someone that is not a rock, all they will do unintentionally is to turn you to a plastic spoon. It will be their job. So when I take the communion, I'm just thinking, Lord, the next 4 or 5 years of my life, I don't want any fame or popularity or open door to change the things that is I am in my life. Our prayers don't change because they are I am. They are not I will be. So if you're going to walk with God, you have to be stable. Yeah. It doesn't matter where next an unstable person goes to. Give them another few years, they will leave it and go somewhere else too. It gets shorter the more they move. It gets shorter and shorter and shorter. Their tolerance level becomes shorter. But there's nothing we can do about that. But there's something we can do about your own heart and call in life. I have no doubt that all those who are here, you're called into greatness. I'm imagining Spark Nation in 5 years. Like my analyst told me, he said, because it's already in you guys' DNA to make a lot of money. So what will happen in 5-10 years, and I love those figures of years, I don't mind it, is you would have made, or you start making money now, but at that point you would have gotten to a point where you don't lose. You know, right now you'll make some, lose some. You'll get to a point where it's not money that can be lost anymore. And he said to me, this 53, 54-year-old man, he said, that's why I chose to pitch my tent with you. That's it. I see it. I know it. I said, well, by then you'll be like 60. He said, it's beautiful. We're in beautiful times, guys. So let's remember Jesus tonight, because he's the only one that can keep us stable. As we go global more and more, because that's the call of our lives right now. So never again say, oh, PT is moving to Nigeria. We're going global. Spark Nation is going global. Givers Club is going global. We're not just going to be a big fish in a small pool. We're going to be a fish that fits into whatever the pool is. So I sense a new grace, a new level of God's call over all of you watching tonight. What will the communion do? Solidify you, strengthen you with might by the Spirit of God, knowing that this is all about Jesus. What's the definition of the word communion? So the communion we share together today is our cup of covenant. So what is the covenant with this house? Wealth, revival. That by the reason of the flesh and the blood that we're about to share right now, none of you will fail in that. You will not fail. No blood from parents' house or children's house will be able to call you out by the blood of Jesus. You know, people can get offended one eve to their miracle and say, no, I don't know. It is a curse. It's like their family house calling them. But what does communion mean?
Fellowship.
It is fellowship.
Intercourse between two persons or more. Interchange of transactions. A state of giving and receiving.
That's right. So it is intercourse, exchange. A state of giving and receiving. Guess what we're given? On the communion table, the flesh and the blood of Jesus. We're given our life, and in exchange, he's given us his life. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was so very rich, yet he became poor, that we might through his poverty become rich. So we're giving him our poverty and receiving his riches. And we're not just receiving money riches, it's part of it. But we are making a statement that we live for him. It's all about him. When we talk about nation taking, it's not the Boyega family or whatever family. It is Jesus stuff. It's him that we return the kingdom to. How we do it can be questioned, but we cannot do it the way those who didn't take the kingdom back to him did it. That would be insane. So I want you to just put your communion table, your wine and your blood in front of you. Just, this is what I'm doing. Just a grape juice of some sort. Before they say we're sharing blood. And bread, you can take this off. This is the communion. Now, so we all, everyone partaking in this communion, we all as one body, in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saying that we believe your finished work on the cross. We believe that you died and you resurrected. We believe that you are I am. It is based on that belief that I become a rock. So I want you to begin to confess the things you believe. You believe the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. But then you believe in giving. I believe in prayer. I believe in living right. So much so that even if I have shortcomings right now, the blood cleanses me. This is our faith. I believe in this apostolic work that God has said. I believe in God the Father. I'll wait for the lyrics to come up. We believe. You can keep showing, you know, the communion table from house to house. Even if you are just with mom or dad, your communion table is exchanged. We also exchange our weakness, our infirmity for his strength. So the communion table brings healing as well to our physical body. Is our own immunization against anything called COVID or death or sickness. This is our own immunization. We believe the world can laugh and go and die. That's your problem. But we believe in the blood. We believe that the life of a man is in his blood. So as we partake of the communion table, we believe that whatever my life is, whatever family line I'm coming from, I exchange it for his family line, the born again line. In the name of Jesus. And more and more important is that these lines, Spark Nation, God, we believe that you raised us for nations, and we have the conviction of steel. We are the uncompromising nonconformist, but we love the people of the world, but we stay in the faith, the rock faith that we believe in. Before we share the communion, I want us to all sing this song together. If you're just stumbling on this conversation and you're not born again, even if you didn't understand most of the things I've said, you understand this. Jesus is Lord and he's the ruler over all. So all you need to do is just say, Jesus, come into my life. Get a bread, get a little wine, and let's partake of the communion. In the name of Jesus, the power of the communion breaks every addiction in our life as well. Addiction to weed, to cocaine. The blood of Jesus breaks it. In Jesus' name, our Father everlasting.
Our Father everlasting, be your creator.
I want you all to hold the bread and let's sing that song. Go for it. You're true, your Holy Spirit.
You're true, your Holy Spirit. Conceiving Christ the Son.
Jesus our Savior.
Jesus, our Savior. Oh, and I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again.
For I believe
in the name of our judge and our defender, suffered and crucified.
Forgiveness is in you.
Forgiveness is in you.
Yes, Lord.
Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious, forever seated high.
I believe
in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of, I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion. And in your holy church, I believe in the resurrection, when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of, I believe in life eternal, I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion, and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection, when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
I want to pray on the communion. I love that song because it says all the things, and some of the things that we believe in. We believe in the virgin birth. And Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost, the Son of God, Jesus. I believe in the Holy Church, and please make no mistake about it. Those who talk against the church, oh, must we go to church to be born again? No, I believe. We believe in the Holy Church. We believe that Jesus is coming again. We believe that he's the Son of God. The way we exhibit our belief may be different, but we do believe. So therefore, in the name of Jesus, according to the word of God, I pray for all nationals. I rebuke every spirit of doubt, the spirit of this world, the spirit that rules through religion, culture, and poverty. I rebuke you, doubt, in the name of Jesus. We confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I declare this cup and this flesh, the cup of covenant, our covenant of wealth today. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that everyone in this nation and our friend, in the nation of Spark, that you've called for wealth, that you've called for the end time gospel, and every other thing you've called people into, and as they partake of this bread and wine, in the name of Jesus, the conviction of steel, unrepentant faith enters them. I thank you for this exchange. I thank you for the blessing that you put upon Abraham when he met Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High. Therefore, stand as the priest of the Most High in my generation, leading a whole generation. I command that this cup breaks and destroys the spirit of poverty sent against this generation. I come against you in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ. I come against those mindset. I come against your work of darkness in this generation. I command that as people of this generation partake of this bread and wine, that their mind be open, that you silence every thought of evil, you silence every thought of doubt. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you put in them the spirit of faith. We thank you. We do this in remembrance of you. We celebrate you, Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You can take the bread. Give you a moment to pray. After that, we begin to worship. After Jesus took the communion with his disciples, they began to sing hymns. The Bible says they sang hymns. Ours is not the cross, because Jesus went there for us. What would happen is wealth, prosperity. But I'll give you a minute to pray and to say, Lord, I'm here for the long haul with you, first of all. For the long haul, I embrace your destiny. I don't care how old or young you are. In your heart right now, you know the destiny of God over your life. So you silence every thought, every negative thought. You silence them and you put the word of God there. We worship you, Jesus. Maybe nothing today, or you're already here. You may be nothing, but there is a destiny of God over your life. This is a time to answer it. We're going to be worshiping for the next 5 minutes. Nothing will change your call. There's no disease that can kill you. There's no man born of woman or anything that can kill you. God's power is over your life by the virtue of that communion. No disease, no virus can stay in your body as well. Spark Nation, lift up your hands and let's begin to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of this church. Father, Lord Jesus, we confess you. We thank you because you're coming again. You reign over the earth and we are submitted to you. Go for it.
You're the great I am.
Yeah. Mountain will be able to hold you back. You're blessed and you're going out. You're blessed and you're coming in. Everything you lay your hands on prospers. In the name of Jesus, as for Spark Nation and all the families, I see increase from the base family, the power base, to the COD family, to the Elite family, to the Pulse Nation. I see growth. I see power. I see wealth by the virtue of this communion. I see stability. God will give you men and women whose hearts are stable, who are steady with the weapon of warfare in the name of the Lord Jesus, men that he has called unto himself in Jesus' name, new, old and young. Their end will be stable with the harrow. They will fight the enemies at the gate. They will plunder the territories of the enemies. From this house will rise mighty men and women of great wealth, mighty men and women of great influence with substance. In the name of Jesus, I speak that on this communion day. I speak over the young community. They will be delivered from the clutches of death and prison and asylums. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Lord will bring out our community from the position of dry bones. They will rise into light. They will know the Lord Jesus Christ, and the name of the Lord will be glorified. We pray for our city, London, and United Kingdom, and nations. In the name of Jesus, we pray for light and life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask that the name of God be glorified in all the nations, that it will heal the sick and prevent this land from further death. In Jesus' precious name, and we all say amen.